Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Now we're in Luke's Gospel. We've been looking at joy, the theme of joy, over the past few weeks. That's been our verse for the year. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And we've been seeing through Luke that that is a theme as the Lord Jesus is born, different people responding in joy. We've seen that in Mary herself, when she knew she was going to be carrying and giving birth to the Lord Jesus. We've seen it in the angels. They announced the good news, Jesus' birth. We saw it in the shepherds last Sunday evening. Today, Simeon. Luke tells us that Simeon was in Jerusalem. Do you see that in verse 25? There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. We don't know much about him, but Luke says he was righteous and devout. He took his faith seriously. I think that's what we can take from that. He knew his Bible, knew his scriptures. He was trusting God's promises because Luke tells us, first of all, that he was waiting. And so the first thing we learn from Simeon is joy will come through waiting. Now, do you remember that with your hand? Joy will come through waiting. That's when you join in, not just me. Joy will come through waiting. Waiting. That's quite hard, isn't it? We hope and expect and want, particularly if we were those at the lower end of the spectrum who are impatient, we want things now. We want things yesterday. But the Bible teaches us joy comes through waiting. And Simeon was waiting for two things. First of all, Luke tells us he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation is a long word, isn't it? But it means to be consoled, to be comforted, for things to be put right, for promises of good things to arrive. Consolation. Israel, God's people, had been promised lots of good things through the scriptures. But in Simeon's lifetime, things for Israel were hard. They were an occupied nation that the Romans, the Roman Empire, was ruling over them. They had to submit to Roman rule. And that wasn't easy. And Simeon knew, and if we've been reading through Isaiah, particularly over the last few weeks, we've seen and heard lots of the promises that Simeon knew. What God had promised for his people. How he was going to restore them. How he was going to bring to them flourishing and joy and bring comfort. And Isaiah chapter 40 begins with those words, doesn't it? Comfort, comfort my people. And yet in Simeon's day, they were still waiting. How was the Lord going to do this? He's promised. And Simeon kept his eyes on those promises. He was longing for and waiting for God's promises to come true. But secondly, Simeon was also waiting for Jesus. The Holy Spirit, Luke tells us, had revealed to Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. The Holy Spirit's been mentioned several times in Luke's Gospel already. bringing revelation, bringing words of prophecy, helping us to understand what's been going on. That happened first through that couple that we met to begin with, Elizabeth and Zechariah. A promise that John the Baptist, their son, would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, when Mary came to meet her, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke truths about who Jesus was. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke truths about his son, John the Baptist, but also the Lord whom he would point to. The Holy Spirit was involved in the conception of the Lord Jesus within Mary. These events in Luke's gospel that Luke wants us to be sure happened. Remember, he opens in that way, spoken to eyewitnesses. I want you to have certainty about these events. These events were supernatural. And the Holy Spirit was bringing explanation and understanding to people like Simeon, but through him to us. So Simeon had had that revelation. He would see the Messiah before he died. And again, from his scriptures, he knew something of who the Messiah was and why he was important and why he was coming. Messiah means God's anointed king. And there were great promises in the Old Testament of a descendant of David who would be born, who would sit on the throne, who would reign forever. Simeon was waiting. And then one day, verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts at just the time that Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus to the temple to do what the law told them to do. And look at verse 28. Simeon, you see, saw and knew it was him. Approached Mary and Joseph. Took the Lord Jesus in his arms. He was just a baby. And praised God. Imagine how Simeon felt, cradling in his arms the Lord Jesus, holding the one he'd been waiting for. Imagine the joy in his heart. That day had arrived. All that waiting. All that waiting. But now joy. And he bursts into song. Do you see that in verse 29? Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, he says. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. This baby that he was holding carefully, gently in his arms, he says those remarkable things, doesn't he? Here, fragile, in his arms was God's means of salvation. He'd arrived. Here, fragile in his arms, was light breaking into darkness. Where death had reigned, where Satan had reigned, where sin had reigned, the Lord Jesus, whose name means God saves, had arrived. And notice that last line in verse 32, here in the Lord Jesus, in this child, in this baby, was the glory of God. The glory of God. Simeon had to wait a long time. But now Jesus was here. Joy comes through waiting. And that's true for us too, isn't it? As we look at Simeon, as we see what he went through, we know it's similar for us, isn't it? Jesus has come. We can experience joy now as we get to know him, as we listen to him, as we enjoy his promises to us, his forgiveness now, his peace, his spirit in our hearts. We can have joy now, and yet we're waiting for more, aren't we? We're waiting for full consolation. Because in this life, Jesus doesn't rescue us from grief or trauma or health struggles or disappointments or wars or disasters. Romans 8, remember earlier in this year, we heard that description of groaning in this life. But joy will come. Consolation will come. The Bible ends with those wonderful words, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. What a day that will be. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica and says this of them. Others were reporting how they had turned from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Definition of a Christian is one who waits. We are waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we look back to his birth, but we know he's coming back. What joy will be ours when he does? We wait. Joy will come through waiting, waiting for consolation, waiting for Jesus. In many ways, I think we might have expected Simeon to stop talking at that point. His song of praise to God. Jesus had arrived. Savior was here. But Simeon doesn't stop talking at that point. He keeps going. His outburst of praise was joyous. And look at verse 33. Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, they marvel at what Simeon was saying about the baby Jesus. Now, and Simeon then blesses them. But then he goes on to give a warning to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this is the second thing we learned together this morning. Joy will come through suffering. The suffering of Jesus. Look at what's said there in verse 34. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? This moment of joy, of celebration. Jesus is here, but now a warning. And a warning particularly given to Mary. That's interesting, isn't it? Simeon doesn't turn to Mary and Joseph, but to Mary alone. Mary needed to hear this warning. It seems like Joseph wouldn't be alive when Jesus began his ministry 30 years later, but Mary still was. We read of her in the Gospels. And so Mary would have seen the rejection that came Jesus' way. He was spoken against, as Simeon says here. Through him, the hearts of many were revealed as they thought murderous things about the Lord Jesus. And Mary's soul was pierced as she stood near the cross and saw the Lord Jesus crucified. And yet this is how Jesus was going to save, wasn't it? We know that Christmas points us forward to Easter. How would Jesus save? Well, it would be through suffering. It would follow that shape. Down, then up. Down first, down to the cross, to the grave, before raised, raised to life, raised to reign. And Simeon warns Mary, that's gracious, isn't it? To help her, here's what's coming. Yes, there's joy now, but that joy will come through suffering, down then up. And that's true for us too, isn't it? Those of us who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, that's the shape of the path that we follow as he calls us to follow him. Joy will come through suffering, our suffering, as we take up our cross and follow him. Look at verse 34 again. Look at what it says. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising. See, it's that way, falling and rising. We've seen earlier this year that Jesus is described as a rock who causes people to stumble. Jesus, as he comes, he calls people to repent. They're the first words recorded of Jesus in Mark's gospel. Repent, say sorry for your sin. Jesus humbles us, doesn't he? We can't save ourselves. None of us. We're all imperfect. We've all failed. We've all let God down. We all need saving. He humbles us, calls us to repentance down. And some of us in pride will turn away at that. I don't need saving. I can save myself. I'm not that bad. But those who respond with a broken and contrite heart, he will not turn away, the Bible says. He will lift. He will restore. He will redeem. He will save. He will adopt as his children. He will give an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. It's a narrow way first. We're to take up our cross and follow him. We're to die to self. We're to ruthlessly fight against sin. We're to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. And we can know his joy in all of that, can't we? As we go down, as we follow him, he is with us. He is consoling us. He is helping us. He is giving us his joy now. And yet we know too that we will know his joy fully in the future, don't we? When we see him face to face as Simeon did that day. And our words will be like Simeon's words, either when he calls us home or when the Lord Jesus returns. We too will say, my eyes have seen your salvation. As we see the Lord Jesus. Now we live by faith, then we will live by sight. We will see him and we will be like him. Down then up. Our joy will come through waiting. You do that with me? Our joy will come through waiting. It will. Some of it now, more fully in the future. Whatever you're going through today, joy will come through waiting. Keep waiting. Keep looking, keep trusting. It will come. And joy will come through suffering. Through suffering. Down then up. Going through hard times, perhaps in this life now, as we follow the Lord Jesus, perhaps for our faith, perhaps through living in this fallen world. He's with us in that. And he will lift us. Down then up. Joy will come through suffering. Our sufferings as we take up our cross and follow him.